Greetings, dear, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Working Experience, a very warm, open-arm audio embrace and a squeeze. This episode is brought to you by my company, One Circle Media. One Circle Media is a hybrid digital agency and media content creator. We create and design apps, websites, videos, social media content, and physical products. We are artists, directors, designers, producers, coders, editors, thinkers, makers, and creators who embrace story and creativity from design, web and app development, animation, docs, features, TV shows, digital and social media content to physical products. For our clients, we create content that builds networks and audiences across multiple platforms. Check out our work at onecircledigital.com and onecirclebrand.com. If you work for a network, studio, brand, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. This episode is also brought to you by an app that I created called Still Believe. Still Believe transforms a picture in your home into video proof of your child's favorite magical characters. With the app, parents can catch the magic of the Tooth Fairy, leaving money under their children's pillow, or Santa delivering presents on Christmas Eve in their home. You download the app, take a picture, and we create the magic. We utilize feature film visual effects artists to transform your picture into video. Just tell your kids that you have a special app that can detect and capture the Tooth Fairy, then present them with the video proof in the morning. The look on their faces is priceless. Your Still Believe video is created in minutes, and you can then save it to your phone and share it on social media. The app is available for the iPhone and Android, and it's free to download. Our aim is to bring joy and wonder into the hearts of children around the world. Check it out at stillbelieve.co. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Working Experience.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
He was rubbing his
Sexual
toenails at his desk.
I
can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Working Experience Podcast. It's Matty K.
And John, welcome, everybody. I hope everyone is safe and healthy. We're still in this in the throes of the pandemic.
I'm in my home office with no pants on. What do you think about that?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a favorite of yours before
anyway.
The pandemic. Yeah. This is not just for the pandemic. Matt always liked to go no pants.
No pants. So we've talked about working from home on the podcast, the ramifications of that. But now we're deeper into this, and the religion, if you can call it that, or the theology, whatever you want to call it, the philosophy of working from home seems to be catching on. Almost like if this were over on Monday, many places would still say, you know, even if they said, we're done, pandemic's done, get on the subways, everything's open, a lot of places would say, you know, we're sticking with this model. Because it just makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've spoken about it before of how it's saving companies money. And in some cases, the big worry was, you're going to sit at home and eat bags of potato chips and binge on Netflix, which Matt does.
Yes. But
I mean, if someone was fearful of that person, Matt embodies that fear.
The unsupervised employee does nothing. But that's
you need to be babysat on location. Forget about home.
This is nothing to do with the pandemic. I mean, just, That's me.
But my point was, you know, productivity has actually increased because you're taking out the commute. You're taking out the useless meetings. You're taking out the chit-chat.
Yeah, let's take this kind of step by step here. So we're over 3 months. We're about 3.5 months into this. We're talking about this article from NPR, which terms this an unplanned social experiment, which is basically how things like this always happen. You know, people are not going to move on things. They're adverse to change. And corporate America is probably more adverse to change than anybody. I mean, they'll jump on any bandwagon. They're all over the Black Lives Matter thing. 3 years ago, forget it. They didn't want to hear those words. But now it's, you know, it's good business. Which, you know, it's cynical to say that, but that can also be beneficial. You know, even Michael Jordan, who famously said even Republicans buy Nikes, and was very criticized for that, because it was sort of like, well, you could be a leader in the Black community and you're doing nothing to make money. Even he is now weighing in, which helps. You know, he donated something like $100 million
right
to the cause. So the question is now, like, what? How is this going to move forward? Like, how long is this going to go on? Is this a permanent state of affairs? Most people would agree. I hate using catchphrases, but there's a new normal. And many employers are now seeing that the benefits are outweighing the drawbacks. It's not all good, but it's more good than bad.
And I think, you know, on the flip side too, not just the employers, but the employees. I think, you know, a lot of employees welcome the opportunity to work from home. And again, you know, we've spoken about this before, and I keep on saying that. I don't think it's the permanent work from home. I think the sweet spot might be 3 days in the office, 2 days at home, or the reverse. 2 days in the office, 3 days at home. I still think you need to come together and, you know, face to face. And, you know, that's a favorite of mine, of course. The face to face, the massage.
It's so creepy. Especially when John calls you into his office and shuts the door, and then you're like,
oh yeah. My favorite is I call them in and I have one hand on the shoulder and the other hand closing the door.
Yep.
That's a favorite move of mine.
Yep. And you're very slick about it. It's never anything you can kind of really quantify in a complaint.
Yeah, it's like, you could take a microscope to it, but it's very dicey.
Yeah, that's your sweet spot. Very ambiguous. Early on, Twitter and Facebook, Google, announced that, you know, a lot of their people were going to be working permanently from home. And you would kind of expect it from those companies because they're always on the cutting edge of technology and so forth. But now, very significantly, Nationwide Insurance, which is an old, you might say, stodgy insurance company, been around for over 100 years. They're located in the middle of Ohio. They are closing 5 regional offices and thousands of employees will work from home on a permanent basis, and the Nationwide employees are really loving it. So it's sort of like, you could obviously, you know, Twitter, you would say probably a lot of people work from home a lot of times anyway. But for a company like that, that's a
big, it's about as push. Like old school as you can get. Yes. Nationwide.
Yes. And you brought up commuting. You know, when I was commuting every day back and forth to school, I would fill up my gas tank about once a week. Now it's like twice a month, maybe once a month. And that's only because I go up to New Hampshire back and forth, you know, maybe every other week, which is about 150 miles each way. Other than that, if I didn't do that, I mean, I would have to fill it up once every 2 months, 3 months. So
I think, you know, gas prices are, you know, extremely low. And, you know, and also too, we're heading into the summer, and I don't think, you know, a lot of companies, at least I'm seeing in the New York tri-state area, is a lot of companies are itching to get multiple people back into the offices, into the high rises. And, you know, how does, you know, how that the rules are still being shaped, like how many people to an elevator, you know, 6 feet apart, how many, you know, are they going to go in 25% capacity? I mean, here in New York, we're just, I think we're in like phase three and we're starting to open up. I think in room dining is now allowed and like you can get your hair cut and that kind of stuff. But a lot of my circle is still working predominantly from home and not going into the city. And nobody is taking business trips. I mean, I know a few people that are flying within the U.S., but I know no one flying outside the U.S.
Well, the bottom line is that CEOs want to save money. You know, we're also in the middle of a recession. So it's like whatever we can do to cut costs, they're going to do. You know, you have to pay to heat and air condition a building. You know, bottom line, like that's an, I mean, above and beyond right. the rent. So there's a savings to employees and employers. The statistics they put in here, a typical employer can save $11,000 a year for every person who works remotely just half the time. So that's, you know, could be $22,000 a year. An employee can save up to $4,000 a year working from home half the time. You know, one guy just referenced dry cleaning. I mean, my clothes, I have, you know, shirts, ties, dress pants. I haven't touched them since March 12th. They just hang in the closet. So it's stuff like
yeah, no,
that.
It's deep ramifications. And I've spoken about this before for Morgan Stanley. You know, 90% of the 60,000 employees.
Yeah, that just threw me.
Morgan Stanley have been working remotely, and the CEO James Gorman, you know, and it's working. And so he's telling Bloomberg Television, I think that it's highly unlikely we've proven we can operate with effectively no footprint. So what does that picture look like for commercial real estate and the surrounding businesses that support those, you know, tens of thousands of employees? I think we're going to see cities that are going to be redefined and kind of reshaped due to this, you know, due to the pandemic. And I think, you know, for the most part, it's for the good. I think it's for like the good of, you know, look, how many times have we made fun of the commute?
Right.
Like just the getting up in the morning, you can't get them. I'm talking specifically about Matt silently crying himself in bed and he can't get out of bed. How many days has that happened? And all kidding aside, I mean, people dread.
I mean, how many?
And now all you got to do is get up, pet the dog, make a cup of coffee,
and just
waddle to your chair. Now's the time to get a comfy chair.
You got to
make that investment.
How many minutes have I accrued sitting in my car outside of work weeping? You put all that together, you're talking weeks. It's just weeks.
Weeks. Weeks.
Now, you're from Long Island. You live in Long Island. How long is the commute from, let's say, Malvern to Manhattan on the train? On a regular...
Malvern, Nassau County, about 40 minutes.
40 minutes on the train.
Yeah.
That's if things are going well.
If things are going well, yeah.
Now
that's just on the train. So, like, if you're door-to-door...
That's what I'm saying, door-to-door.
Oh, yeah. Say you work downtown, you're looking at, you know, an hour 10.
So you have to get somebody to drive you to the station, drop you off, which could say be, what, 10, 15 minutes. You got to wait for the train. You got to get on, which I assume the train is rather crowded going into Manhattan.
Correct. Correct.
Regular workday morning. So you're standing for 40, 45 minutes. You get off the train at Penn Station. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Then you'd have to jump on a subway, probably, to go down. Like, let's say you worked on Wall Street. You have to jump on a subway, go downtown, get to
the office. I mean, most individuals are jumping on a subway, either going uptown, midtown, you know, cross town or downtown.
That is exhausting. I mean, by the time you even get to work, you're mentally and physically exhausted.
And also, too, you know, you're talking about a monthly ticket, you know, in the $300, $350 range, plus subways. I mean, you're talking about a monthly take of about $500. So, and that doesn't include, like, the gas, you know, your car that you drive. Some places you got to pay for a parking spot. I mean, it adds up.
Well, let's just lowball it. $300. So, a ticket, a monthly pass on the Long Island Railroad would cost you about $300 a month.
On average.
That's $3,600 a year that people don't have to spend if they're working from home.
Yep.
If you're, and then, right, you got to get somebody to drop you off, or you got to pay for parking. Then you need a Metro card, which is another week, probably $20, $25. Yeah, it adds up. And you look at all that, and you're like, plus the time. I remember when I was living in Brooklyn and I commuted to the Bronx, it was actually fairly easy. I just got out, walked to the D train, took the D train right up to the Bronx. But then they started doing construction sometimes. I mean, this is over a period of a lot of years. So I would have to go to the R train. Then I would have to switch. Like, at one point, I had to switch twice. And that was so aggravating. Because it's just like, ugh, you know, I just settled in. Now I got to switch to that. Now I got to switch to that. Plus, it took a lot. It took 20 minutes longer.
Right.
And that's a fairly easy New York commute. That's not too bad. And I left very early because, you know, I was a teacher. I'd leave about 6 in the morning. If you're trying to make it in from where you live now, which is further out, right, than Malvern?
Yeah, further. Yeah, near Huntington.
I mean, now you're talking, what, an hour and a half on the subway, LIR?
Easy, on a good day. Oh. On a good day.
Now, this is for our audience who may not be familiar with the New York metropolitan area. This is a when things are running well on the LIR, which from what I understand is about 10% of the time, or maybe no percent of the time. That is, I don't know if I still have the account. It was on Instagram. Remember, it was a commuter one. People at Penn Station.
Yes.
And it was always just a nightmare. It was always
hilarious.
Friends of ours, our friend Tom, would regularly post, like, you know, three-hour delays. Can you imagine 8 o'clock at night, you're trying to get home, and you're facing a two-hour train ride with delays and all that? Oh, my God.
Oh, you got to love it. You got to love it.
So, employers and employees seem to be saying, yeah, you know, this is pretty good. Of course, we don't need to get into this so much now. It's probably another podcast. It does affect, you know, commuting. Like, what is going to happen to that tax base? What's going to happen to the LIR, the subways? What's going to happen to the, you know, office cleaners? What's going to happen to office romances? I mean,
ooh,
yeah. What's going to happen?
That's a very good point. You
what's
can't really,
going on with that?
You know, spark it up over Zoom, can you?
Yeah, no, or Skype maybe, but I don't know. That's just not the same thing. Going back to James Gorman, he says, yeah, his company's going to have less of a footprint. Why pay for all that commercial real estate when you just don't have to? And we referenced this before that, you know, offices may share. Like, I was listening to this the other day. It said a lot of offices in Boston, a lot of businesses, they're not going to break their lease because, you know, there's ramifications for that. But they'll simply, in a year or 2 years, they're just not going to renew. And it's leaving commercial landlords scrambling to reconfigure, you know, what they're going to use that space for. And the ironic thing is, just yesterday, you can see in Boston, they're building more office buildings. And it's like, did you guys not get the memo on this? Or, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there's always going to be demand for space. I think it's just going to be how it's configured. You know, and we spoke about this before with shared space, you know, maybe two or three companies going on a space You know, maybe it's more of like a WeWork situation, or, you know, who knows? I mean, nobody really knows. And a lot of these companies are locked into 5-10 year leases. Who knows? Maybe some of them are trying to wiggle out of it right now. But I just can't see things going back to normal, just as they were before. Like, I think it's going to be a rare instance that a white collar worker, like a, you know, a service informational technology type of person, goes in 5 days a week from 8 to 6. I think that's going to be a rarity.
Well, it does seem to be working. A big roadblock to working from home was managers, middle managers, did not trust that their employees would actually do the work, that they would be productive. But 70%, 77% of workers and managers and things like that say they are fully productive at home, if not more productive, because they don't have to spend an hour and a half each way commuting. And now the managers are having to work from home. And, you know, I think they're seeing, like, well, if I can be productive and responsible, I mean, again, it's like the bottom line. Did you get the project done? You know, I need the specs on that, or the stats, or the numbers, or I need you to create this presentation. And if it gets done, and, you know, maybe somebody likes working from 7 to 9, you know, 7 a.m. to 9 in the morning. Or maybe they work late, they like to work from 9 to 11. You know, it's just everybody's kind of different. So, it, again, the bottom line for a lot of CEOs is, number one, it saves a lot of money. Number two, it works. That people are actually doing the work. Probably in the initial month or so, it was difficult. But that's the way things always are. That's the way changes always are. But also referencing what you said about working from home all the time, most people seem to think that 3 days at home, two at the office is a pretty good model. And there'll probably be a lot of variations on that too.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, just looking for me personally, I am obviously, I'm now working from home, and I haven't been to my office in about 3.5 months. And honestly, I don't know when I'm going to go back. We're working on 3 projects right now, completely remotely. You know, do we go back sometime in July, sometime in August? We're waiting to see how things play out. And then the future of the office is also a question mark. You know, I've got an office in Manhattan. It's very expensive. You're paying rent. Do I need that expense, or do I just fold it up and just go fully remote?
Yeah, I remember you were saying that, like, you know, the perception in your industry was that you really had to have an office in either Manhattan, you know, somewhere in New York City. But now that perception has radically changed. And it may be a huge relief for a lot of people who are like, God, thank God I don't have to do that anymore.
It used to be like either New York or LA or some kind of physical space. And the space, the office, has its benefits. But like I said, it has its benefits to come together once or twice a week in the same office. So right now that flexibility is not available to me. Like, I either have to pay the monthly rent or I have to leave. I would be open to like a turnkey solution where I could, like, you know, rent an office for X amount per day, you know, or I sign up for twice a week with, or I split it with someone else. Do you know what I mean?
Well, like in Boston, there's Breather, which I don't know if they're nationwide or not, but you do that. You rent stuff on an hourly basis. And I don't know if I had never heard of it before. I was looking to shoot something, and the guy at the studio said, you know, told me about Breather. We need an office. And you go on there, you can get offices for 2 people. You can get a conference room for 20 people. You pay anywhere from maybe $45 to $200 an hour. They advertise in big font, no subscriptions, no monthly fees. You just take it when you want. So that model is maybe going to become much more popular.
Yeah, I mean, that model really wouldn't work for me. I would like a model where I could keep, like, I have production equipment I need to keep on premise,
right.
Computers and drives. I don't want to have to lug that in every time I go into the city.
Right.
So it would be more like a share situation with maybe another agency or production company or tech firm or, you know, where maybe they're in, you know, they're in the office day 1, 3, and 5 and our team is in 2 and 4, days 2 and 4, and there's flexibility, you know, and there's also a chance maybe, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what it reminds me of? Remember years ago, gyms, it became a joke, like Friends did an episode on it, whatnot. Gyms would have a monthly subscription fee. And then to try to get out of that, I never had one. But to try to get out of that was a labyrinth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it was. That I think is largely, I don't know if maybe they do sign contracts anymore.
Yeah, like they wanted to sign a contract, and then I don't know who broke the back of that, but there was no way I was going to get involved in something like that. And now you have Planet Fitness, where you join for like $10 a month, and if you want the deluxe package, it's $20.
I joined Planet Fitness, $20.
$20,
and before the pandemic, I would use it. I mean, it was so ridiculous. The problem with Planet Fitness is get crowded at certain times, but for $20 a month, or like you said, $10 a month, it's like, it's nothing.
So I kind of see the office thing, the WeWork and whatnot, you know, like as monthly rent and all, you know, people are going to be like, nah, I don't think so. You know, like you're going to have to do better than that. So,
right. You know, and these companies could respond with different packages and different plans,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we have to wait and see.
Yeah. But I also think, you know, people want to get out of their homes a couple of days a week, see other adults. You know, a big downside of working from home is isolation. You know, if somebody's maybe like, I mean, a friend of mine was telling me that a friend of his wife is recently divorced. Kids are out of the house. They're grown. And this, I don't know when she got divorced, so maybe it wasn't that recent. But, you know, the lockdown hit and she's at home by herself. So she was constantly calling his wife or texting her because she's alone. So that, you know, sometimes the office is your social outlet. That's who you hang out with, is who you go out for drinks with, you know, who you maybe have a little dalliance with. and you know, just so I think some people, they just want to get out of the house and go into the city and have an excuse to, you know, do that. So I think, as always, you know, there's upsides, there's downsides, but companies are seeing more upside than downside. However, you know, I was talking with we're gonna have a podcast released next week, I think. I talked with Professor Stephen Kahn, who's a history professor at...
Yeah, that's going to be released either Monday or Wednesday of next week.
Yeah, he was a great guest. But before we started talking, before we started the episode, we were talking about the pandemic and how it's affected education, and he was like, it's been a disaster. And he teaches college kids. And he just said, you know, like, one day, all these storms swept through central Ohio, and a bunch of his students lost power for 3 days. So that was all lost. And we were just kind of talking in general about, like, the effectiveness of Zoom classes and online learning. And he just said it's just not the same. Like, you just can't replicate it at all.
Well, we have a family friend, and their son is going to Villanova starting this coming fall. And what Villanova did is they pushed up the start date. So he's going in August 10th, and then there are no breaks until Thanksgiving. And then, you know, I think it's a very short break for Thanksgiving, and then they're back until like winter break, so right after Christmas. And, you know, that's how they're playing at Villanova. They're going all in, you know, everybody's on campus, all in-phase classes.
You know, I heard that about Notre Dame, so they might have been following that model. But then I heard UMass Amherst, they're starting later. So nobody has any science. Like, I just read something from the Department of Education in Massachusetts, and there's just still no plan. It was like, either be ready to come back full on, everybody's in masks and all that, or be ready for a mix of in class and online, or be ready for all online. And we're like, well, that, I mean, you could have said that in April. Like, that's no plan, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for us in New York, I think the most likelihood is either those first two options. Either they go back full force, and then maybe, like, sports are, you know, delayed, or those seasons are canceled, or they go back with a hybrid model of, like, 3 days in class, 2 days virtual. I highly doubt that they're going to go back to all virtual. I would be surprised.
Yeah, but they're living in dorms. That's a whole other issue.
No, I'm talking strictly about high school and below.
Oh, high school, yeah. I don't know. High school sports, football, I mean, they just had three Major League Baseball players test positive from the Red Sox and two other teams. No, I think more than, it was three teams. Alabama was holding practices. Nine players tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, no, there are certain sports that, you know, basketball, wrestling. Dude, wrestling? How are you going to have wrestling?
I mean, I'm highly doubtful high school football is going to be started in the fall around here. I mean, I don't know how they can be in the
I think their first priority is to get back to in-person classrooms and then get that model going. And yes. So there's no infections. And then they're going to start talking about sports. So I think fall sports are possibly in jeopardy, like, you know, football. I don't know, what are some other fall sports? I forget. So it is, you know, and then you have a whole host of problems when you go in the winter with basketball, with wrestling, and all the other sports. You know, I think swimming might be okay because in the pool, maybe. But who knows?
I don't know how a teacher has a classroom full of third graders with masks on and socially distancing. I mean,
not gonna happen.
I can't even imagine how that's supposed to work. Like, what my stress level would be, so I couldn't deal with it.
Because the only effectiveness of the mask is everybody's wearing the mask. Once one person decides not to wear the mask, that whole scheme falls to pieces.
That's why I love the Trump rally with no one wearing.
Yeah, one's wearing a mask. Yeah, no, there's really no need.
No, there's no need at all. I just that you know, I don't wish ill on anybody, but I just, you see the pictures of those people, and it's like, you are fulfilling every stereotype with the bad hats, the jean shorts, just everything about that crowd. I mean, if you're Donald Trump wants to, he's always wanted to break into high society, and he is so angry that this is his base.
Those people were, I watched some clips, they were having fun, Matt. Who are you to criticize? They're having a little fun. They're dancing around. They got their signs. First of all, like, who's going to a rally?
Why? Why?
Like, what? Why?
For what?
Just, if you want to vote for Trump, just vote for Trump.
Under, like, the best of circumstances, I don't go to a political rally.
Under the best?
For what?
You would literally have, I don't know if you could pay me to go to one.
I went to one for Ralph Nader. Because it was held.
Oh, Ralph Nader.
Ralph Nader.
He was great.
Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
But I went. A friend of mine was in town, and he was like, Eddie Vedder's going to be playing. And it was like $20 to get in. And I was like, all right, yeah, let's go. But I mean, aside from Eddie Vedder playing, I don't, it was just like talks and stuff. I don't get it. Like, I'm just like, all right.
I don't get it either.
I mean, even like.
It's the same thing of like, I don't get like. When it's like, oh, we've polled people, we surveyed people, like, who is taking the time out of their day to answer a survey or a poll?
No.
Have you ever?
No. People would call here and say, oh, we're just wondering who you're going to vote for. I'm like, it's none of your business. And hang up the phone. Like,
I'd just be like, I'm voting for myself.
Yeah.
That's John, last name. I mean, I...
You remember Alf from that show in the 80s? That's who I'm writing in. Yeah. Alf. Whatever that... Yeah, I know. I don't understand.
And not only do I not fill out a survey or a poll, I'm annoyed that someone's even asking me to do it.
Right. Right. Or you'll see it on Instagram. You'll see it on Facebook. Who are you voting for? Like, why would I tell you this? Why would I put this information out there?
Yeah, no, zero.
I don't understand. And the other thing is, Trump despises these people. He hates these people that vote for him. They're low class. I mean, to him.
Yeah, no, he doesn't care. It's a vote.
No, he doesn't care. But I almost feel badly for these people because I'm like, do you understand how he sees you? You know how, like, Hillary Clinton called them deplorables? That's how Trump feels about them. He does not. He wanted to own a pro.
But he loves listening to himself talk so much. It doesn't matter.
No, they'll listen. Those people will listen. So
they'll listen.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
All right. Speaking about loving yourself so much, listening to yourself talk. That's us right now.
That's just us right
blabbering
now.
Along, and there's one listener left.
Got his head down on the desk, wondering why.
Weeping.
So, folks, I hope you are enjoying your experience working from home if you can. If you cannot, I really wish the best for you. I know a lot of people cannot work from home. They have to do... You know, they're working in nursing or they're just trying to provide for their families. They're working as food servers. I know people are so happy that a lot of restaurants are opening up, but, you know, you have to think about those people who are serving you food. I mean, I'm sure they're happy, too, because they're making money. But, you know, this isn't gone. The coronavirus is not gone. It's not over. So my hat's off to those people who grind it out every day and get out there and work.
Yeah, you know, that is something to be said. All the emergency workers, you know, the nurses, the doctors, everyone at the supermarkets and the food stores who actually have to physically go out there.
I almost feel badly about whining and complaining myself so much.
Oh, I know. I whine louder.
Almost. But I mean, you know, all the sacrifices I make. And
yes.
I'm trying to get one of those hero pins for myself and just wear it, you know.
Yeah, oh, and people come up, Matt, are you an emergency worker? Yes, in fact,
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Actually, I would term myself a hero worker.
I put out a podcast that really fills an emergency gap, I would have to say.
Yeah. Hey, we kept on working.
Oh, grinding it out. Day after day, sitting here babbling into a computer screen. I mean, that's got to be a valuable public service, right?
Absolutely.
I always like this meme I saw. It said, or it was like a political cartoon, and it was somebody who was supposed to be like Jeff Bezos is saying to an employee, we really want to honor the heroic effort you're putting in. And the person says, oh, are you going to get us health care and a pay raise? And he goes, no, I'm going to put up this poster that says heroes work here. Awesome. thank you. I feel like that's thank what you. Happens, too. It's like
it's getting, people doing their part.
It's like getting a mug that says employee of the month, and that's it. No pay raise, no bonus. No.
Nothing. Just the mug.
And you get to wear a funny tie on Friday. That's your reward. And you just sit there in your funny tie with your employee of the month mug.
And you're we're just so proud of yourself.
And there's a tear kind of coming down. Because you realize you're a 44-year-old man with a funny tie.
You're painting a very depressing picture for me.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening. And we'll be back at you real soon.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.